Father, we want to thank you for all your mercies and your compassion. We want to thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you sent. Thank you for your holy written word. Many times that you give us, O Lord, the opportunity, even today, let your word draw us, O Lord, closer and closer to you. Bring us conviction and repentance that we may rise and do your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Job. First chapter. The message that the Lord permitted me to speak to you today, the title would be The Spirit World and Your Tongue. The spirit world, the unseen spirit world, and your tongue. How important it is, and how the whole spirit world is focused on what we say. Many of us have read the book of Job. But to me, the book of Job is actually a battle in the spirit world as the unseen world watches what Job was going to say out of his mouth. That was about all. Scores of books have been written. Messages have been preached. But look at it. We will not go in very detail. But then, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? In other words, the literal meaning is, have you put your heart on him? In other words, have you been eyeing on him? See, that's the way the Lord asked. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? See how what the Lord does for a man and his family when he fears God. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and then touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. In other words, Satan is challenging God that you take away all these things, your blessings and all that. He is going to speak wrong words. He is going to speak negative words. He is going to change his words. So that means the spirit world is anxiously waiting to see what kind of words that we are going to speak. See, Satan is focused. And then he is pointing to God and saying, he is going to curse you. He is going to use bad words against you. So that's why I give the title, The Spirit World is Focused on Your Tongue. So what happened? All kinds of calamities took place. Children died. And the cattle and the camels and everything died. And then, you know, so many disasters took place. Satan was the author. He was the troublemaker. God had nothing to do with that one. And then, verse 20 says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and then fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, I'm not going deep into this. This was Job saying, the Lord never took it away. He was speaking out of ignorance. He said, well, the Lord gave and the Lord took it away. But this You should not take it as the word of God. Please make a note. This was words of ignorance spoken by Job. In any way, he was not criticizing God. Now, verse 22, look at it. The Holy Spirit writes, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Can you see that? He did not speak a wrong word. He did not curse or speak a negative word and grumble or murmur against God. Unlike many of us, sometimes we do. Why did God permit all these things? I can't bear this. I can't take this, you know. So Job did not sin with his mouth. He did not speak any wrong words. And again, chapter 2, we know the same drama takes place. And the Lord says, look, Job is still speaking the right thing. And verse 4, Satan answered to the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. So he says, okay, you talk about everything. And then, you know, the devil says, now you touch his body. Let sickness come upon him and he's going to curse you. Again, the focus is on the tongue. So the spirit world is watching. What are we going to say? And verse 7, so Satan went out in the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils and from the soles of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Can you see the very same thing Satan said to God? He will curse you to the face. Now, Satan, I believe it, took the mouth of Job's wife and really provoked him. Come on, are you still holding on to whatever that your faith and all that is? Curse him, curse God and die. In other words, say, why are you living? Die. But before you die, curse him. Can you see? Again, the battle is for the tongue. The battle is for the words that we would speak. And what did Job say? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from the Lord, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. There you go. So the battle is for your tongue and my tongue. The spirit world is watching what words we are using. The whole time this is being watched. From morning till night. Now, we're going to see a very important thing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. The angels are watching. Angels of God. God is watching. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all watching what words we will speak. Satan is watching. Demons are watching. Fallen angels are watching. Everybody is watching from the spirit world. Focused on our tongue. Sometimes unbelievable, right? But it is true all through the Bible. Now, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. We see here a very important thing. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. This is, you know, conversations going between Moses and God. And, you know, God is now calling Moses to be sent to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel. And Moses says, Lord, supposing if they don't believe me, what am I to do? So look at it. But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Moses had a rod that was used by the shepherds, you know, when they look after the sheep, when they watch over their sheep. So he said, God said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hands. Now, most of us, we know that you don't catch a snake by the tail. Why? He's going to turn around and then bite you. I mean, you can catch by the head, press it down, and then, you know, they know how to catch it. But nobody will catch by the tail. He'll just straight come to your face or to your body, to your hands to bite you. But yet, God said, take it by the tail. That they may believe that the Lord, their God, their fathers, and God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob has appeared to you. Now, the rod Moses had was there for a number of years. Now, listen to me very carefully. He had it for a number of years. Moses did not know the potential of the rod. When he found out what it became a snake, right? He was afraid. He ran from it. When he took the snake by the tail, it became the rod again, and that rod became the instrument of authority. Listen carefully. Some of you are going to get triggered, and some of you are going to really make up your decisions. Now, this is enough for me. I'm going to hold on to this. Watch it. We're going through this for some reason. It became an instrument of authority. When Moses found out the power of his rod, and he went back to Egypt and did what God told him to do, threw that rod on the floor in front of Pharaoh, that became a snake. And Pharaoh was not amazed by it. Pharaoh called the magicians. He said, what about you? What can you do? And they threw their rods, and all those rods became snakes. Let me say, Satan can do wonders, signs, but they're false. Satan can do supernatural power, miracles. Miracles that are not natural. That means it's beyond our comprehension. Can you believe those rods becoming snake? Yeah, they became snake. But the rod of Moses, which became snake, swallowed up all their rods. So that means, now we just saw, the rod became the instrument of authority. So the authority of Moses, which God gave him, overpowered all the powers of the enemy, of those magicians. Amen. You read this in Exodus chapter 7, from verses from 8 to 12. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 8 and 9. The Lord Holy Spirit mentions specifically about these magicians, these enchanters, these people who are into witchcraft will increase, and they will come against God's people, the church. And the church must be fully equipped like Moses, knowing their authority, in order to display the power of the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. They became fools when Moses' rod swallowed up all their rods. The church, which knows how to use the authority, only will stand against these last days. We are in it now, to war against these opposing powers of Satan through magicians and others. And God will be too glad to display the power of his kingdom, the power of the name of Jesus, the power of his blood, hallelujah, the power of his word. Yeah. So don't just come to church or listen to some messages and sit down and then sing a few songs and then go about in your work from Monday to Friday. Don't do that. These things, these oppositions will increase in these days. The final conflict is going to be not in theology, but is going to be in power. It's not in knowledge that we know or whatever, but it's going to be on power. Okay, what can you do? This is what we can do. And the church should rise up and shatter the powers of the enemy. Now, the rod in your hand is your Bible. Many people are having this rod in their hands without knowing the potential of that book. Like Moses. I said, what is it that in your hand? Oh, this is a staff. Put it on. Many born again Christians have not tasted, come in direct experience and confrontation, experience the power of God in that word. The power and the anointing is locked up in the word of God. The rod is in your hands. That's the Bible. Take it as a revelation in your spirit. We have been carrying for a long time, and still we do not know. Going back to some of the years before the ministry was about to start, I was so much dragged and pulled towards the word of God. And now I know it was the Lord Holy Spirit who pulled me. And I was so craving thirst to study the word of God. I would, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, I would just run into the room. I just want to read and just, my Lord, I want to read and read and read. And then not for knowledge, I enjoyed it. And the Lord would speak to me through the scriptures. And one day a family came, a man brought his two married daughters with their children. About a couple of children, I believe. The two daughters married. And this man is a Hindu man. And he came. I don't know why he came. Who told him to come to my place? I don't know how he came to know that I can pray. As a matter of fact, I couldn't pray. And I did not know how to pray. Nobody taught me how to pray. So he came to pray for. And then we sat on the ground floor in the hall. And then he told me that they need prayers. And they also sat down, the daughters. So I just opened the book of John and I started to read. It was a Tamil Bible, right? That was the day the Lord showed me that this word is locked up with power. So I started to read. In the beginning was the word. Mind you, when I looked at that man, I was frightened inside. Because that man's face looked like that he used to see those days, like Christopher Lee or, you know, like these vampire shows. He was so bony and he was a six-footer. And I just read, in the beginning was the word. Man, he just fell on the floor. His forehead banged on the cement floor. And I did not know what to do. And next thing I see, froth coming out of his mouth, like white milk. Wow, coming out. And I went on to read. And the word was with God. Bang, the other daughter fell down. And she's rolling on the floor. And the word was God. Then the second daughter fell down. And then the children rolling on the floor like worms. Brothers and sisters, nobody can take this experience from me. Because the Lord showed it to me. My word and myself, we were the same. God and his word are the same. You cannot separate one from the other. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The word of God is Jesus Christ. So that was the day that the Lord showed me. See that? You just read it. And the demons couldn't wait. They were exposed. The word of God is light. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil is darkness. Just reading it, man, I did not know what was going to happen. See? And afterwards, several times, while preaching, I will teach the word of God and demons manifest. One day the Lord said, read Mark first chapter. And on that first chapter about the deliverance, and I spoke the previous Sunday, and then there were much deliverances, and the following Sunday, I had a different sermon, and the Lord said, read Mark first chapter. Then he kept on coming. Read Mark first chapter. To make the story short, let me say, and then I got up to start reading. And then four women, they were rolling on the floor. Suddenly, demons came coming out of them. And one demon was crying. This came up to my pulpit and then said, why are you reading about me, telling about me all the time? She spoke in Tamil. I was a demon spirit. Brothers and sisters, this word is locked up with the power of God and the presence of God. The word is anointed. That's why he keeps us busy and takes us away from God's word. We just read it out of guilt. We just read it because we just sometimes frightened that we are sinning against God. We don't read it. But this is our life. And the devil hates it. And other times, people will come for deliverance. So I would say, okay, all right, bring me the book. Oh my God, immediately you must see those people. And he said, no. That's it. Yeah, come on, bring the book. And then I would tell some people to read it. Come on, read it. And they shut their ears. Those demons don't want to hear the word of God out of your mouth. They don't want to hear. That's why I just spoke about the book of Job. They cannot stand. They don't want to hear. They want to hear bad words out of our mouth. They want to hear, oh, but I wish I could be dead. Oh, I don't think, nothing works out for me. I think it's no use living. They love it because they want to carry out that and kill you. So this was my experiences, and I can relate to so many, many incidences. The demons hate to hear the word of God. That's why he keeps you away from the Bible study. Gives you some other job or whatever. It just blinds and it just brings some depression on you. Yeah? And then sometimes we just read, nothing comes out of it. Just be a closed book and then you get just irritated and fed up. Those are attacks of the enemy. See? The power of God's word. The first thing Moses did was to tremble when he saw the manifestation of the power of God. The rod became a snake. He's just afraid and ran away from it. Before that, that rod was in his hands. He did not know the potential. That was there all with him all the time. Now he's running away from it. I told you the rod is your Bible. See? The beginning of victory in handling God's words correctly is to tremble at God's word. If your ministry is going to spread, if your spiritual life is going to be powerful, you got to come to the experience of trembling at God's word. Do you tremble? Are you afraid of God's word? You tremble at his word, then the power is going to be released through you. God is positioning you to slap the devil. I'm telling you, this is so important. Receive it. So as I said, many carry the Bible. They do not tremble. They don't. They have not known the awesome power the supernatural power contained in these words. But the demons know it. They know it. I tell you, they put the fingers in the ears. They don't want to hear when you read. I pray that Lord will give you some of these experiences to you when you go into the ministry. Amen. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look. On this lady, on this man, on this child will I look. What? On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Those people who are humble, those who are hungry for God, and then they tremble at his word. They are so afraid of God's word. On that person, I'm going to look. I am going to bless that person and his family. I am going to bless that person's ministry. I am going to bless that person's spiritual life. That is the person I am after, who trembles at my word. Do you? Do we tremble? Moses was afraid. He trembled. See the point? That is the man God is going to listen to. That this man's prayers, that lady's prayer, God is going to listen to. They tremble, God's word. See, reasons why we should tremble at God's word. Now, God's word has creative power. Psalms 33, verse 6 and 9. God spoke and it was done. God spoke and it was created. See? Through his word he created. 33, 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9. For he spoke and it was done. No effort. He spoke and it was done. Created. He commanded and it stood fast. So, number one reason is because it has creative power. Job 33, 4 says, look at that. Job 33, 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Always, the Word and the Lord Holy Spirit goes together. Because when God speaks, his breath goes out. Always together. Just the word? No, the word kills. But the Spirit and the word gives life. Amen? So, it is creative power. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, it sustains everything that was created. Hebrews 3, 1. Excuse me, chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1. The sustaining power of God's word. God at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed of heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of the person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power sustains and upholds everything that was created. Every planet that is hung on nothing is being sustained on their orbit, and whatever they're doing right now, they're in motion, they're sustained by the word of the Lord. See the power? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, it discerns our thoughts and motives. As someone said, as we read the Bible begins to read us. Is living and powerful. We can do something and the word of God discerns why we did it. Our motives, our intents. People won't know it, but they'll discern. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Then the word of God is the final, our judge. In the last day. John chapter 12 verse 47 and 48. Jesus said, the word which I have spoken to you, it shall be your judge. See the point? It's going to judge us. But if we go through the word of God and then examine ourselves and correct ourselves, we need not be judged. Amen. So when Moses trembled at God's word, that means his rod, which became snake, then God said, Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. See? Then Moses began to use the rod. God said, take the rod, go with Aaron, and then do everything that I have told you to do. That rod became the instrument of authority for Moses to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh and the taskmasters. See, thereafter, everything that Moses did for the liberation of Israel, listen carefully, was done by the rod. Everything that was done, it was done by the rod. Authority. And I'm coming to a point now. The rod became the instrument of liberation, of freedom. God never used or raised up an army to deliver Israel from Egypt. He used the rod of Moses as the authority. The authority God has given you is in your hands. In my hands is the Bible. Only thing, like Moses did not know before, the potential and the power. Many of us have not experienced the power that we have in our hands. This is very true. Amen. Now, if you want to write this down. Until Moses knew how to use the rod, Israel was not delivered out of Egypt. Until he knew how to use the rod, Israel was not delivered from Egypt. The same way, until you know the power of God's word in your hands and know how to use it, you are not going to deliver yourself. At the same time, you are not going to deliver anyone. Are you there? These mumbling and bumbling and all these just powerless prayers will not do. You should learn, know how to use the rod. Jesus had to learn how to use the rod against the enemy before the ministry started. That's why God had to show me. Even though he baptized me with the Holy Spirit, God had to show me, hey, look, just I don't know, I was just led to read. I just read it. And they fell down one after the other. Swirling, rolling on the floor. God showed me. Oh, just before my eyes, just like yesterday. So until he learned to use it, they were not delivered. This is true today. Until you and I learn to use the rod, the word of God, we cannot deliver ourselves or the others who are in bondage. With the mouth, you confess it. With the heart, you believe it. When you confess with your mouth, deliverance comes. Romans 10, chapter, verse 6. Now, how to use the rod? How are we to use the rod, the word of God? The key word is proclamation. You know, confession is just confessing God's word. We can just say it softly and things like that. But proclamation is speaking, confessing aggressively. I can just say like this. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I will condemn it. Oh, now the proclamation is, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, I will condemn it. Now I'm aggressive. You remember the violent shall take it by force. You got to be violent in the spirit. When you are speaking God's word, you are sending out the authority. So proclamation is speaking aggressively the word of God. Jesus is our high priest. Chapter 3 verse 1. You know, the book of Hebrews always talks about Jesus as our high priest. Now, many believers, born again children of God, Jesus is the Savior and Lord, maybe. To many, He's not Lord because their own soul is their Lord. But to many, He is Lord and Savior. But to only few, He is a high priest. He finished the work of salvation on the cross. He's a Savior, right? But then He is continuing the ministry of high priest by interceding for us, speaking on our behalf to the Father. But many do not have Jesus' ministry of intercession as a high priest. You know why? Because we don't confess. We don't speak God's word. He has nothing to say before the Father. We speak wrong words all the time. Wrong words about husband, wrong words about wife, wrong words about children, wrong words about your own life, negative words, fearful words, all kinds of words. So Jesus has nothing to go and confess before the Father. So there is no ministry of intercession. He not doing any job for you there because of the bad words that come out. How many are listening to me? Are you? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says that he is our high priest, right? Of all what? Confession. But there is no confession. What is he going to confess to the Father? Job never spoke bad words. So God said, hey, Satan, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He didn't speak any wrong word. Oh, well, you touch his body. See, fight for words. Fight for words. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then there we have a great high priest. Why is he there for? To intercede. Based on what? The words that we speak. Who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast. Hold fast. Give me that pen. Give me that pen. You see, I'm holding fast. No, I won't let it go. Hold fast to what you said. Why? There's going to be attack. There's going to be attack, change of circumstances. The devil changed the circumstances in Job's life and his family. Brought all kinds of unseen, unpleasant things, right? But he kept on saying the right thing. He never cursed God. He did not say, yes, to Job's wife. He did not say, yes, darling, I think what you say is right. Better die, right? Bring me something. Let me drink and die. There's no use. Your God had let me down. No. Many do that. Many do that. Supposing a wife says, why are you still living? Why don't you die? They'll just go and then, you know, in anger and commit suicide. Oh, you said like that? Wait a minute. But Job didn't. So hold fast. Why? There is going to be attack. When God says hold fast, there is going to be attack. Attack on what? To change the word. Are you all listening? She seems to be very quiet today. 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now the Holy Spirit is adding one word more. Without wavering. How many times we change our words? Oh, when we say that, we're going to do great things. I don't think I can make it. Wavering. Why wavering? Because there are turbulences. There is going to be attack. There is going to be circumstances are going to be changed. Hear this. Every attack, every evil, every unpleasant circumstance, every bad news, everything that comes to your life and my life is only for one purpose. Shall I tell you for what it is? To change our words. I'll give you some time to think. Nothing else. All the attack that came to Job for only one reason, Donna, what was it? To change the words. God was watching his words. Satan was watching his words. Demons were watching his words. Oh no, he's still holding fast to the word. Job never had the book of Hebrews. But we change. We say something till morning, till afternoon, and evening when the circumstances change, we change the word upside down. And then the following morning, we come back, and then evening again, we change. Isn't that right? So the high priest ministry of Jesus Christ stops. He's still a savior, but he's not a high priest. He cannot intercede. So the Holy Spirit says, careful, now don't alter the word. That's wavering. Not careful. That means he's saying, it's going to be attack. Because you're holding fast to the word. There's going to be a... Keep it in your mouth. Is it? You know, God said to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, what did he say? Say again the fight. What words? Let my words be in your mouth. You will prosper. Don't speak anything. My word. My word, keep it in your mouth. Because it's a fight for words. It's a fight for the tongue. It's just a fight for the tongue. And Hebrews 10:39. No, excuse me. No, it's actually 10:23 that we've been just watching. So we need to hold fast to speak continually and then keep on doing it without turning to the right or to the left and wavering, right? Okay? Now, Satan will make you everything possible to stop you from speaking God's word. God has given us his word and his spirit, and he said, I will never remove it from you. Isaiah 59. You see, this is the reason why God said, no, come on, put my word in your mouth, because it is going to shatter the power of the enemy. The enemies, they don't want to hear this. The demons, when they come near our house, when they hear God's word, they're going to run away because they cannot bear to hear. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, I have seen it with my eyes. When we read the word of God, some people who need deliverance, they shut their ears. They don't want to hear. Isaiah 59:21, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord. That's for your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild. I'm going to give my word and my spirit upon them. And here, look at what we are speaking. We speak all kinds of gossips, mistakes, problems of past, yesterday, before, 5 years back, 10 years back, 20 years back. We just store it up and then just speak it. And the demons, they love it. When the word of God should be in our mouth. Isn't it true? What is the reason I was coming to Sunday and just listening to some message? There's not going to be any power. I told you, the power, the rod in your hand is your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to know the power. See, the word and the Holy Spirit must go together. When we are in difficult situations, normally three things that we can do. One of the three. All right? We can hold fast to the promises of God and confess it. God is faithful and he had called me. I am not the tail, but I am the head. And I am blessed in the city and I am blessed in the town. I will be blessed and my family shall prosper. We can speak positive things and then go on. Right? But we should know the promises of God. Do we at least memorize one promise a day? You know. That's why we have no authority against the devil. Even though it's legally ours. Like Moses had the rod but never knew the power. That rod became his instrument. Many carry the Bibles today, but they don't use it as an authority. They have not experienced or touched the power of the word. Now, we can confess God's word and then see God work on our behalf. God sends angels to work for us when we speak God's word. Psalms 103:20, it says that. Second thing that we can do when we are in difficult situations is speak nothing and be silent. There are some people who do like that. Speak nothing. They don't speak anything positive. They don't speak anything negative. They just... They speak nothing. You know what will happen to them? They will be victims of the circumstance. If there is a storm, they will be carried away by the storm. The circumstances will begin to guide them. Why? They speak nothing. The third group speak negative words. I think nothing is working for me. Then who comes to help us? The demons. Satan sends demons because we are speaking negative words. Death producing words. You know, we can speak one word. I think there is no use for me to live. And immediately the spirit of death. Death is a person. A demon. Can come in immediately. Oh, I'm born again. Yeah. You open the door. The Bible says in 4:27 Ephesians, don't give a place for the devil. That means we can. I said we can. So you say, and everybody, nobody likes me. I just don't want it. I'm not going on with it. No, I think I will get lost somewhere. I'm just going somewhere. I'm not going to return. That's it. And the demons, they just come. And then they do their work. Why? The words we spoke. So those three things, one of the three categories that we have to be there. Either speak God's word and allow God to work on our behalf. Remain silent and then the circumstances will carry us through. Like in a canoe, a rushing water, a current of water. You have no rudder. Your just boat is going everywhere. You're drawn by the circumstances. Or you speak negative words. He's not that. My mama doesn't love me. My papa doesn't love me. You just open the door for all demons to come in. See that? The way we use our mouth, that will determine the course of life. James said that in chapter 3. Now, I want to say this. Even so, I say this. I preach this. I'm teaching you this. It is not going to be easy for me or easy for you. It is going to be hard because the evil forces will see to it. This pressurizes, just like it pressurized Job only for one reason. What was it for? That he will speak wrong words. So there is going to be pressure. There is going to be rejection. There is going to be accusation. There is going to be some people are going to forget you. And even those whom you loved are going to forget you. There is going to be one after the other. Maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Things coming up and we do not know. The moment it comes and the whole unseen world is watching what you and I will say. You, in your tears, when in that pressure, can you open your mouth and say inside your car, anywhere, go inside the washroom, the Lord who has called me is faithful and I shall not be dismayed. I will never be forgotten. God will lead me through. God will strengthen me. When I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we say that? That is exactly what God wants us to hear. Just like when Job was speaking, Satan was watching. God was watching, angels were watching, demons were watching. And then the second scene, God said, did you hear what Job said? We don't realize this. We are being watched. Our words, so much important to the spirit world. Is it any wonder? God said, say to it, Joshua, that my words are in your mouth. Don't take it out. Never depart. Look at us. Most of the time talking about the problem. when there is a solution in God's word. Yeah. We just think all kinds of things and then speak it. Why? Take the thought and speak. Take the thought from the demons and speak. I think I'm having some headache. I'm going to get fever. I mean, you're opening the door. Ah! She said that she's going to get fever. Let us give it to her. That's what happens. Now, we may laugh. That's what happens. We just open the door by the word. And God can't help it. You wanted it, get it. I think I'm getting. Oh, why are you getting it? Now, we may think that these things are, it'll be like jokes. But the demon spirit world, they don't consider it as joke. They take it seriously. They take it. Give a little symptom and then you say, yeah, I think earlier 2 years back, I got this migraine headache. It looks like a slight symptom. It's coming, but I got to pray, right? I got to pray. What pray? Already opened the door. Yeah. You don't attack that symptom. You don't reject it. And you don't speak the word of God. By his stripes, I'm healed. No. But it's going to be hard. God never said it's going to be easy. Didn't he say? Hold fast. So that means somebody's trying to take it off. See that? It's a word world. And most of the time, this slips out of our heart. And we speak all kinds of things. And still we say, nothing is working out. Nothing is working out. Even pastor doesn't ring me. And nobody rings me. And wait. See, the whole thing is directed against us. That we may speak bad words. You see, that is the only reason why the unpleasant circumstances and other things, they come on our way. Get this in your heart today. It is to make you and me speak wrong words. But don't you forget, don't remain silent to get carried away by the circumstance. Speak God's word. Put God's words inside. Carry some, at least even if you can't memorize, carry something, type it, and then carry with you in your purse, in your wallet. And then take it out and read it loud. Let those demons around you hear. By the third time that you have said it aloud, I will never be forsaken, for the Lord said, he shall not leave me nor forsake me. He who has called me is faithful. He has given me his life. I'm washed by his blood. Hallelujah. By the time that you are shouting now, my God, you sense some release. What happened? What happened? Some demons came near you and they're trying to force you to go depressed and depressed, and suddenly you blurt out violently and that ran away. Go and tell Satan or somebody who sent. Now he is speaking so much of God's word, I can't, it's just burning. That's true. It is very true. Now, God has given us banners for his people. You know banner? We lift up a banner. We have flags, we can lift it up. Go with me to Psalm 20 verse 5. Psalm 20 verse 5. Gotta be quick. Psalm 20 verse 5. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. In the name of the Lord we will set up our banners. The name of the Lord is the word of God. Revelations 19:13. We will put our banners up. So what is God? The Holy Spirit is speaking through David. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. But pastor, I say many prayers and petitions, but I don't receive any answers. Show me your banners, darling. What, pastor, banner? I have nothing. Banners are the word of God, the words of God that you speak, the promises that you speak. Lord, you said it like this. The banner, Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4. Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. It's coming after Ecclesiastes. chapter 6, verse 4. Oh, my love, you are so beautiful as Tirzah, whoever that is. Lovely as Jerusalem. Awesome as an army with banners. Here, the Lord Holy Spirit is speaking through Solomon as a picturing the church as a type of an army. Right? Even though we don't fight, the angels fight for us, but we are like an army with banners. Have you got banner to lift it up? I just now told you, have you got enough God's promises to lift it up? Have you got the word of God in your mouth? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I will trample scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. God has given me authority. Whatsoever I bind on earth is bound already in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Even this spirit of depression, this spirit of death, sickness that's come over my family, I bind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
We don't do that. We just talk about, you know what? My family has been attacked all the time. So please pray, will you? I'm almost dying.
See, we have no banners when we speak like that. Lifting up the banner is lifting up God's word. So he says, oh, I see the church with banners. You see the church like that now? Lifting up banners. My Lord. See, Psalm 68, 11.
Can you see that? I don't know. What. 68, 11.
The Lord gave the word. Great was the company, those who proclaimed it, those who spoke aggressively. See that? The Lord gave the word. What are we doing? We have to speak it aggressively. I want to say this. Even today, start getting the promises of God. Speak it aggressively inside your house. Speak it inside your rooms. Speak it while you are having a shower. Speak it inside your car. No, I am not going down.